She's ready. I can see her reflection. So now, Alice Bernards from Penticton, British Columbia, is going to tell us the very last part of the story, A Night Without Story, back to where we came from.
Thank you. Well, the twin kingdoms of Sasan and Samarkand have long since been buried by the drifting sands of time. But not so the stories told there by Scheherazade. For as we've heard over this weekend, her stories have been carried across the seas and retold in faraway and foreign lands. But what of Scheherazade herself? What was her fate? That's a story that's little told. And I'll begin telling you that story now by saying that although her husband, King Shahryar, may have been mad, as we're all sure he was, he was no fool. He understood perfectly well that she was prolonging her life through her storytelling, but he loved her stories, if not the teller. And so he continued to allow her to live until there came a night without story. For on the 1,000th night of their marriage, Scheherazade did not come to the king's chamber. And Shahryar, while he waited and waited, he felt again those black pools of night rising round his heart. And he tried to sleep to escape the fearsome loneliness he was feeling in that night. But he found that without Scheherazade beside him, without her soft sighs and the gentle warmth of her in the crook of his arm, he couldn't sleep. And he longed to hear her telling a tale, any tale, in that golden voice that he knew would serve as shield against the wash of black lapping at his heart. He went to the door and he looked down the hallway for signs of Scheherazade coming. There was no sign of her, but at that moment, her younger sister, Dunyazad, crossed the other hallway on her way to her father's rooms. Dunyazad, go to your sister, the queen. Tell her to come to her rightful place this instant in the king's chamber. Dunyazad carried the message to her sister and returned with Scheherazade's answer. My lord, she says, tell the king I will not come, nor will I tell him another story. Well, this message shocked the king. He said, go, ask your sister, is she unwell and so cannot come this night? Dunyazad carried this question to her sister, came back with the answer. My lord, my sister says, tell the king, I am not ill, but I will not come and I will not tell him another story. Oh no, Shahryar, terror of Sasan and destroyer of love loomed over young Dunyazad. Go, tell your sister, my wife. Has she forgotten I can have her killed as I have killed 1,000 wives before her? Well, now Dunyazad ran on trembling legs from the king to the queen, from the queen back to the king, bearing her answer. She says, my lord, she says, tell the king, I know too well he can kill me, yet I will not come, nor will I tell him any more stories. Well, at that, Shahryar gave a cry that wounded the hearts of all who had ears in the palace, for his own heart was wounded at the thought of ending this time of his life that he had spent enjoying the shelter and the oasis of Scheherazade's stories. He shouted at Dunyazad, go, tell your sister to prepare for the headsman. And then he slammed shut the door, and he could be heard all night long pacing up and down, back and forth, across the thick rugs on his chamber floor, until their intricate woven patterns were worn to threadbare nubs by his ceaseless treading. When the hour before dawn came, the royal headsman hastily began sharpening the sword, for he had long since stopped seeing properly to its edge, and the sound of it wafted up from the courtyard through the open window, reached the king's ears where it grated like the claws of a dog scratching at a closed door. He went to his own door, threw it open, and found Dunyazad waiting there on the floor, huddled in a blanket. "Dunyazad, go. Tell your sister." "Dunyazad, go. Ask your sister, my dear wife, if she would grace me with her presence and shine the light of her eyes upon me and favor me with the sweetness of her voice at whatever hour she may choose to come." Well, before the birds could even begin to greet the light of day, Shahrazad appeared in her husband's doorway, and the sight of her drew his heart the way the moon draws the seven seas. "Shahrazad, why did you defy me? Why did you tempt my anger?" Shahrazad stood. She looked at him and said, "My lord, why do you bother asking these things? For surely my insolence deserves no more than a speedy death in an unmarked grave." Well, at those words, Shahryar gave a groan, such a groan, it rippled the surface of the cistern water stored deep beneath the palace floors. He sank to his knees and began to weep. Shahrazad went to him. She placed a hand on his head, and she said, "My husband, since you are in such distress, I will tell you why I have behaved this way. For you have become as the sun and the moon to me, so great has my love for you grown. Two sons have I borne you since we were wed, and now a third child is on its way. I would have our children know that their father is a great king, a kind, just, generous king. And yet all too soon, our children will learn that their mother's life is at risk every day, hanging by the merest thread of story, upon your whim. How can they ever find comfort in the shade of your love, once they know the cruel death that awaits me, solely in your decree? My husband, light of my life, I fear your heart has been caged in bitterness so long it no longer remembers how to feel free. But I believe in the kind, the just, the generous, and the loving nature I have seen within you. And to prove my belief in you, I have sent rude words to my king saying, I will not come, nor will I tell you another story. And now, husband mine, unless you choose to end my life now, the outcome of my actions may not be known in one more night, nor two more nights, nor 2,002 nights, for my actions rose from the wellspring of my great love for you, which cannot be expressed in anything less than a lifetime." Well, now the king looked up at his wife. "If I choose to spare your life now, you will always believe I do so only for the sake of our children." But she said, "No, I beg you not to spare my life unless you truly love and trust me. For without that, my life is as nothing." And then the king, Shahryar, finally realized he loved this woman more deeply, more completely than any hero in any of her stories had ever loved. His heart swelled with love that spilled out in rainbow hues that left no room for blackness. He rose and went to the door, and he called for his wazir, whom some of you will recall was also Shahrazad's father. Well, the poor old man came, bent over with grief, certain, sure, that the king had finally determined to behead his beloved daughter. But instead, Shahryar commanded him to prepare for a great wedding, for he wished to publicly vow his love for Shahrazad and to wed her anew. And so it was done. A great wedding feast was prepared, and the king's younger brother, Shahzaman, came from Samarkand to celebrate his brother's happiness. And Shahzaman found his own happiness with the lovely Dunyazad. So the old wazir lived long enough to see his youngest daughter married to the king of Samarkand. And those two were very happy, almost as happy as Shahryar and Shahrazad. For over time, those two became known to the people of Sasan as the happiest in love, the king and queen of all joy and all love. But you know, I have heard it said that Shahrazad went back on her word. She broke her vow to the king. For sometimes, in the soft silence of the night, she could be heard telling stories to him in the warmth of their chamber. So ends the tale of Shahrazad of the 1001 Nights. Thank you.